In the ancient world, there was a belief that there was only a finite amount of things that people could own. And so it was, if somebody had a lot, it meant that somebody did not have very much, because there was a finite amount of things to go around. Those who had so much seemed to deprive those who had nothing, because there wasn't any more to come. And that might be the reason why Saint Jerome said, every rich person is a thief, or the heir of a thief. Also in the ancient world, the understanding of the word vanity, which starts from our reading from Ecclesiastes, which Mary read for us this morning, has a different understanding than what most of us would appreciate in 2022. Vanity, in the biblical sense, means something that is temporary. You look at it and you see something precious in it now, but it's only temporary. And so vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All is temporary. We might need to be reminded of that. So for those of you who were young and fell in love with the beauty of another person, that beauty will fade. It will be gone. The person who wins gold medals today will win no more medals in the future. Depending, of course, but down the track, those medals will be gone. You got up early this morning, some of you. Well, yesterday was a better example. You may have had a very beautiful, chilly but beautiful morning, and as the sun rose, and then as the sun sets lately, they are quite spectacular, but they are gone. They will never be repeated. You may have similar days and similar experiences, but all that is in beauty will be gone. That person that you fell in love with as you roll over on your 99th birthday and put your head on the pillow and say, oh my God, the beauty was there 60 years ago and now it's gone. Everything in our life that we call a possession is temporary. That's not, and I'm not trying to depress you this morning, I'm actually trying to redirect you. And that's what Koheleth, the author of Ecclesiastes, is trying to do. And that's what Jesus is also mentioning when he starts to talk about greed. It's not about being depressed because everything is temporary. Those beautiful things that are so good now and bring goodness into the world, they still are temporary. There will be an end to that. And so when we talk about redirecting, it is looking at the things that we possess and make sure that they don't possess us. It is not a criticism of possessions. That's not what this is about. It is a realigning, if you like, of the things that possess us. So it's possessiveness that is the problem. And then we have the parable in, before the parable in the gospel today. We have a gentleman saying to Jesus, tell my brother to give me our share of the inheritance. All those things, particularly human life, when they come to an end, they also stir up a lot, particularly in families. If you've ever followed or been there at the reading of the will and found out that things did not go the way that you thought they would, I might just remind you that none of us have a right to the hard work and labour of those that have gone before us, our parents, for example, children who may expect to make their way in life on the back of the hard work and labour of their parents. That's not a right. If a parent decides to do that with their life and their hard work, then that is their choice. But it should not be something that we expect. Even in Scripture, as Jesus says, my friend, which is a little bit soft in one sense, my friend, he says, who made me your arbiter? Jesus is not saying that God is judging us because we may have possessions. He may well judge us on what we do with our possessions, or, to a greater extent, what we don't do with our possessions. We build up the kingdom of God if what we have we share, we pass on appropriately. And I'm not talking just about inheritance there, because more often than not, it seems to me that that causes division, not unity in families. As we look at the world today, particularly the Western world, we see that the gap between those who have possessions and those who have nothing, we see that getting wider and wider. So in that great chasm that exists between the haves and the have-nots, we must cast a light. We must bring back some balance, starting with the very smallest things, the things that we know that we can make an effective change with. They would be the things that are closest to us, the people that are closest to us, the people that are around us, where we can have some sphere of influence. Even that influence that we possess now in little portions, that will be gone. And so in the first reading it talks about there, at the end of our life, what does it all mean? What has it all been worth? The gospel finishes the same way. What's it all been worth? What is the cost of what I have done with my life? And what is the outcome of what I've done with my life? It will be either something that is positive and has brought people closer to God and brought myself closer to God, or it has increased the chasm between neighbour and between mankind and God. It's not about possessions, it's about what possesses us. Today is the feast day of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and he founded the Jesuits, as many of you may be aware, the Society of Jesus. He died in 1556. The basis of St. Ignatius's spirituality could be simplified by saying that he spent his life examining the spirits that drive us. And he talks about the spirit of good and the spirit of evil. He refers to the spirit of Satan and to the spirit of God. And then he goes on in his spiritual exercises to talk about live your life under what he calls it the standard. The standard is the banner that armies march under. Designates which corps they belong to. March your life under the standard of Christ. And the things that stand out as the highest virtues that lead everybody to Christ, that closes that chasm that I am referring to, are poverty, humility, and a contempt. He uses the word contempt for being in a place of honour, for making oneself great. So poverty, contempt for honour, and a real searching for pride. St. Ignatius tells us that in his spiritual exercises, from those three steps in our life, all other virtues flow. If we can achieve those things, and Ignatius actually says, goes beyond being just a little bit poor, but actually truly identifying with the poor. Truly identifying. So for us, for example, in Canberra at this particular time, how could we do that? We have the sleep out for the St. Vinnie de Paul, I'm aware of, where people experience in a kind of way, the homelessness and the cold of not having somewhere to lay our head safely in these cold, cold nights. That's getting in touch physically with the poor. I don't think anybody here has ever starved, for example. You may have had grumbling of your tummy at times, but I don't think any of us have ever really and truly gone without. I might be wrong there. So we use this time, these pretty tough readings, to look at our life, to look at the gaps that exist in our life, to look at the things that possess us in our life. And then we remember, as I began my homily this morning by saying, all of these things are temporary for us. So when we get to the end of our life and we start to draw our last breath and we're aware that the curtain of our life is now closing, we might just want to examine what have we done with our life. Don't wait until that last breath is imminent. I would start that examination right now. You might want to reflect on your life these two questions. Rather than ask at the end of your life, who am I? You might ask yourself, what am I? Rather than ask yourself, what did I do with my life? Sitting here this morning, you might ask, what have I become in my life? As you examine those questions, you will find out whether you possess or you are possessed.